This morning, the Honolulu City Council Budget Committee again takes up several bills that could have some high-profile consequences. Bills 34, 35, and 36 all have Ann Kobayashi's name on them. We called her earlier this morning to get a reminder of what the bills would do, and we started with Bill 34 to create a pilot program to repurpose public school lands leased from the city.
Yes, where schools and school offices are on land that's owned by the city. It's leased to the DOE. And some of those small schools, some of the offices want to change over and become maybe offices downstairs and workforce housing upstairs in the upper floors, which I thought was a great idea. It's kind of a win-win. And then the revenue from the rental of those workforce housing would go back to the DOE for their programs. Then that's why I'm introducing the legislation to allow this to happen so that the city will continue to lease to DOE.
Would there be any problems with zoning if you're talking about people living in the upper levels and having the lower levels still remain offices?
Mm-hmm. The one we're looking at is on Yonge Street, kind of near Linacona Art Center. I believe it's already zoned, mixed zoning. If not, certainly that area is already developed with housing and businesses.
If the pilot program goes forward, what would be the total amount of impact that you would see with other parcels of land that are leased to the DOE that might be in the same circumstance?
Yeah, well, there are three that they're looking at. There are three that do not have a large impact because they're not large parcels of land. And to put up workforce housing is really needed. And it's really a win-win because the revenue goes back to the DOE for their programs.
Any sense of how many people would be able to be housed in all three properties?
Well, this one on Yonge Street, I believe it was a little over 100 because there are only about 80 apartments.
So in terms of the pilot program, the three properties that you're looking at, but if the pilot is successful, how many other properties do you see that might be developed in the same way?
Yeah, the DOE is the one who makes that selection because they decide which offices can be closed or removed for a while. I don't know if there are any, like, schools. You know, there is that large school up in Kaimuki that has been closed, but it's a lot of DOE offices are there. We thought that might be a nice place for senior housing. However, the DOE does not want to do it at this time. So they are the ones who make the selection because they decide which properties could be developed.
Switching gears here for a second, looking at another bill that you introduced, this one for real property tax credits for low-income homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the stipulation of all of those and bringing it down from 4% to 3% of the homeowner's income in terms of what it might exceed in the tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you expect that this might affect if, in fact, this goes forward?
Well, you see, it's a program that's in effect right now. Anyone who makes 60% or less pays either 4% of their income for property tax or the property tax, whichever is lower, because 4% of your income, if you're only making $20,000, that's only $800. So you can pay $800 and your property tax may be $2,000, but your household has to make $60,000 or less.
By bringing it down to 3%, though,
bringing it down to 3%,
how many more people would be embraced by that?
Yeah, we're not sure, but it's not a huge amount. But we're helping those in the lowest income bracket. So we don't want people to lose their property. We don't want people to become homeless because they can't afford to pay their property tax. You know, there's some people who live in Kahala who live there for, you know, over 50 years, and the assessments keep going up, and they can't afford to pay the property tax. So if they make less than $60,000 a year, then they can be in this program.
Finally, I want to ask you about the bill for private transportation services and
mm-hmm.
drivers. This battle with Uber,
Lyft, and the taxi companies, and we've been trying to find a level playing field because it's good to have, you know, the more businesses we have here, the better. And we're not trying to drive anyone out of business, including having the stiff competition against taxis. So we're trying to level the playing field and think we can make this work, have a central database where all the drivers and vehicles would have to be registered. It doesn't matter how your company is operated, as long as all the drivers and vehicles are registered, because the city, you know, looks out for the safety and protection of the riders. So we think having all the drivers in a central database will make it safer for our customers. Bill 36 only is for a central database for public transportation drivers and vehicles.
So they're not necessarily going to have to register in this database, because it seems like it's going to be asking people for a lot of information about them that maybe some drivers would be uncomfortable having in a database.
Right. So it'll be like Uber would be listed as Uber, and then Uber would be responsible and liable for all the certification of their drivers. And the certification is following the national and state laws. The criminal background check. The state recently passed an insurance program for taxis and public transportation companies. So it's whatever's the law, that's what we're saying the drivers should follow, tax clearance. And the companies themselves would certify their drivers, and then the company would be listed on the central database. Independent drivers would have to go through that same process, going to a city office and being certified.
But for a driver who is going through Uber, they aren't necessarily being asked to register in this database.
They would be registered as an Uber employee, but Uber would keep their information, and just the company would be on the database. So if we needed to find an Uber driver, we would look in the database, find Uber, and call them up, and they would have their whole list of drivers.
Right, just to be clear,
we didn't want to share, you know, I don't think a lot of companies want to share their driver information on the database, so they would be listed as a company.
Nor would a lot of people who drive for those companies necessarily want to have the city having all of its information either. The companies, though, Uber and Lyft, have been having issues all around the country, particularly with Uber, and looking at what they've talked about in response to this bill, do you think this is going to be enough to push them over the edge to leave?
We've been working with them on what should go into the database, and they're comfortable with having them listed just as a company. And so Charlie's, the cab, they would all be listed as a company, but they are responsible. It's like a third-party permitting thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the company would be responsible and liable for the information of their drivers, so that if the police or the city or anyone needs information, the city would call Uber or Lyft and get that information. Because, as I say, the bottom line is the protection and safety of the customer.
At this point, with all the bills that we've talked about having passed second reading, now coming to the Budget Committee today, do you expect that this is just going to continue along?
Well, we're hoping to bring it to a close soon. We were hoping to end this today, but not sure, because we're still refining what certification includes. I don't think it'll be medical, and a criminal background check for 7 years is what Uber does. The city only does two years, so we're going to do 7 years criminal background check nationally. We're going to follow whatever national and federal laws there are regarding these drivers.
All right. Well, we'll see, in fact, if this moves along as you anticipate that it might.
Mm-hmm. Hoping that it will, but I kind of don't see that happening, because we're not that close to refining all the certification standards and how the vehicles, and whether every vehicle has to have a decal on its bumper, noting that they went through a safety check, which is done by the company. All of this information will be done by the company.
So if you expect that this is going to go on for a little while longer?
Maybe we may defer to the to next month's budget committee, but then it would be deferred to the next month's council meeting also.
Which means we'll be watching and seeing how this journey plays out. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're hoping that we can get this done and have our passengers protected.
And Kobayashi, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The Honolulu City Council Committee on Budget Agenda will cover Bill 34, that's the use of public school lands, Bill 35, real property tax credits for low-income homeowners, and Bill 36, the private transportation services and driver's bill we were just talking about. Meeting today at 9 o'clock at Councilman Ann Kobayashi is the Budget Committee Chair.